You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Earlier this year, Republican lawmakers tried and failed to change Idaho's constitution to give their party the upper hand when it comes to the looming redistricting process. That amendment seems likely to come back next year. The GOP is also embracing a plan that would simply add more lawmakers to the state legislature, potentially cementing their near total control of the House and Senate. Our James Dawson reports.
Okay, we're going to start out with a bit of math here. Right now, Idaho is carved into 35 legislative districts, which is as much as the state constitution allows. But Republicans like House Speaker Scott Bedke say 35 districts might not be enough.
I think we're better served in a large, diverse state like we have that has the distinct regions, the distinct customs and cultures, and keeping more representation rather than less.
Bedke is speaking here in a video published by a Republican blog in February. He says he worries the next redistricting commission that'll form in 2021 will actually cut the number of districts down to the constitutional minimum of 30. But adding new districts could give Republicans an even bigger share of the state legislature than the 80% they already control. Despite that, Bedke says he's not worried about blowback.
I don't anticipate, a big conflict there. I think that's going to end up being a bipartisan idea.
This is Dale Ewerson with the Idaho Republican Party, Region 5 chairman.
Ewerson, who chairs the GOP's redistricting committee, thinks some of these districts are just too big.
Right now, there are at least two, maybe three districts where legislators have to travel several hours, if not a couple days, to get from one end of the district to the other.
District 7, for example, stretches from the rafting mecca of Riggins over mountains, prairies, and farmland all the way to Lake Ponderay, nearly 300 miles north.
Yeah, it's more difficult to know your constituents when it's that great a distance to travel, no doubt about it. So underrepresented, it's getting close in places, yes.
Adding new districts would need two-thirds of state lawmakers to sign off on the constitutional amendment. Then more than half of voters would have to approve it at the ballot box. Another proposal to change who draws the district maps would need to jump through the same hoops. Representative Stephen Harris sponsored the measure that would have added a seventh member to the redistricting commission. He says it's an attempt to avoid similar legal battles the state has faced the past two cycles.
We want to keep this out of the courts. We want to avoid this perpetual deadlock. There are obviously some partisan ways of doing this. We want to avoid that if we can.
But it would have been partisan. That new commission member would have been appointed by statewide elected officials who have all been Republicans since 2006. State lawmakers used to draw the maps, and they faced bitter court challenges too before 1994. That's when 64% of voters enshrined the current system into the state constitution. Now the plan to add a seventh commission member looks likely to come back next year. And District 15 in West Boise is one the GOP has its eyes on.
Politically, I call it Omaha Beach, because everything to the east of it was represented only by Democrats until this year. And everything to the west of it in Ada County was represented only by Republicans.
That's Democratic Representative Steve Birch, who ran four times in the district before winning last year. His party flipped both House seats and narrowly lost the Senate race there. Birch says packing the redistricting commission is clearly a partisan move.
They want to protect and preserve their personal political power, not because it's better for the state, not because it solves some egregious problem that the state has. It's strictly and solely for their personal political benefit.
And these types of proposals aren't just popping up in Idaho. A ruling this summer from the U.S. Supreme Court means federal courts can no longer rule on partisan gerrymandering.
I think you're seeing a lot of reevaluation of existing state structures that serve to constrain that partisanship. And I think that's a shame.
That's Justin Levitt, a professor at Loyola Law School who tracks redistricting. Now it's up to the states to police redistricting, and Idaho is one of just six that has an independent panel.
I think Idaho has been pretty well served by a commission with some modicum of independence from the people who are actually running for office. And I'm not surprised that legislators would be interested in taking back that power.
The Democratic minority can't block either of these proposals at the state house. If they pass, it'd be up to Idaho voters to decide if they're tired of the nonpartisan system they approved 25 years ago. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
And James is joining us live in studio now to talk more about this. Okay, James, this is a big deal. And I know a lot of times we're talking in the newsroom how people think like, oh, redistricting. But tell us about it. What happens? Break down the process.
Sure. So every 10 years, you know, you got the census coming up. 2020 is just around the corner. And then after that census kind of comes in, we count everyone who lives in Idaho and, you know, obviously across the country too.
Mm-hmm.
But in Idaho, then leaders from the two major political parties, doesn't have to be Democrats and Republicans. It always has been. But if any other political party got more members, then that could change. Anyway, right now it's Democrats and Republicans, and leaders from each of those parties pick three commission members. They cannot be currently elected officials. And those people then look at the census data and they draw up a plan within 90 days to you know, outline these maps. And they try to keep things like county lines, communities of interest. They kind of want to keep those together. They don't want weird shapes that we've all seen those maps, right? And what I mean by communities of interest, I'm talking about, you know, you don't want a district that, you know, maybe the North End is mixed with West Boise. Those are two different people,
gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then you need four votes to pass any kind of plan. And historically, it does end up in the courts a lot of the times.
Okay. So why does this matter?
Sure. So we heard from Professor Justin Levitt from Loyola Law School earlier in the feature. He says it pretty well. I don't want to jump on his words.
Even though this seems like nitty-gritty detail that can be abstract, it is directly connected to all of the other things that people actually care tremendously about.
I mean, he told me that I think the way he phrased it was, it's the infrastructure of infrastructure. I mean, basically, you're choosing, you know, who you elect. And in some parts of the country, the people who are elected get to choose who votes for them. And so the things people care about, healthcare, education, taxes, the environment, who's voting on those? Those would be your elected lawmakers, right? And so being able to keep those kind of communities of interest together, people within counties, you know, that's critical to really choosing the people that you want voting on your issues.
So I know you had mentioned that there were some court challenges when we talk about redistricting plans. You talked about this in your story. So what kinds of challenges are we talking about?
I mean, we've had a lot. So since the 80s, we've had five rejected maps, two of those before the redistricting commission, which, by the way, people were mad back in the 90s because of these court challenges. And so nearly 65% of voters wanted this nonpartisan system. They changed the Constitution in 1994 to create this commission. So like I said, two challenges and two rejected maps before the commission, at least since the 80s. And then since the commission has taken place, we've had three rejected maps after that. I mean, we're talking bitter fights even when it was lawmakers drawing these maps. I found a news story that showed there was a fist fight between two of them in the state house. In the 80s, there was a bloody nose involved. You know, lots of drama.
Okay, and then the other thing you mentioned as a possibility was actually just adding new legislative districts. So, A, would that work, and what would it look like?
Yeah, I mean, I can't weigh in on whether it would work,
yeah.
But I mean, so the talking point from Republicans I've talked to, they say we have these gigantic districts, right? I mean, District 7 and District 8, those are the two big ones, very central and like North Idaho. It honestly takes hours to get from one end to the other, and so they're worried that with all the growth in the Treasure Valley, the districts, which are currently capped at 35, you know, you have to make all of these districts relatively proportional in terms of population size, right? And so there are fewer people up there in the rural parts of the parts of the state, then those districts could just get bigger while Ada County and Canyon County add more districts to the population centers.
But it has to be about population,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then how can you take like a District 7 if it doesn't have the population and make it two districts?
You can't. And so that's why they want to add more districts to, like, you know, kind of basically make the pie a little bit bigger.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, this could cost, you know, a significant
right.
amount of money.
Okay, so talk about that. I mean, we're talking how much money potentially if you do this.
Yeah, and I haven't heard like an exact plan of how many districts they could potentially add. House Speaker Scott Bedke in a video that I saw, kind of threw out a number of 3 legislative districts, right? And so you have 2 representatives and 1 senator for each of those districts. That's 9 new lawmakers, $200,000 roughly in salaries and stipend, but that's not counting per diem, that's not counting their travel expenses, and it's also not taking into account office space. You have this ongoing lawsuit with the treasurer at the state house, house office space is at a premium. You have these lawmakers, if they're not chairman or chairwomen of committees, they don't get their own office. It's kind of like a cubicle. Right. And so those are the things you kind of have to think about, and not to mention staff time for any kind of proposals they might want drawn up.
So what does this look like for the next legislative session? I mean, we are going to be seeing this issue coming back around.
Right. So we obviously saw the Redistricting Commission constitutional amendment proposal last year. It got pulled back. Democrats have told me that's a hill they're willing to die on. And the reason why it was kind of pulled back last time was because Democrats, at least in the House, you can basically request bills to be read at full length instead of just kind of going through the motions. And when you do that, it takes, sometimes 20 minutes to read through a single bill. And you have to do that several times a day. So we're talking like, we could have seen even weeks added to that session if they wanted to.
So this will come back. But as you said, Democrats will do
whatever they can to kind of, at least on the Redistricting Commission
right.
side, not a lot of people wanted to talk about adding new districts, so they wanted to see a proposal. But both of these issues, they're constitutional amendments, so you have to get 2/3 of lawmakers to pass them in the House and Senate. The governor doesn't weigh in on them. That goes straight to the voters, and then more than 50% of voters have to approve them before that gets amended in the state constitution.
All right, so it's not like the legislators can just willy-nilly decide to do this. This
right.
has to come for a vote in front of the people.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We will, of course, be watching the legislative session as you spend the majority of your winter down at the State House.
I never know what time of day it is. We have a small window.
Exactly. That's about it. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson about the future of redistricting in Idaho. Thanks so much, James.
Thanks.
Up next, we look at how a pilot program between Valley Regional Transit and Lyft is working out. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.